started. Today is Tuesday, October 1st, 2019, at 6:01 PM. We're in our work session here at the Deerfield Community Center. And the first thing on our agenda is a presentation from Alpine School District. I think we'll just not hear today, but Alpine School District is, so we'll come off the microphone and.
Ladies and gentlemen of the council and those here in the audience, I'm Rob Smith, Assistant Superintendent of Business. And with me is one of our board members from your area. Name of honor. And so I'm telling you, let's see if this comes in close.
Thank you.
Ooh. Well, that's perfect. Uh-oh. Too many cords.
He's a steeplechase runner, he's used to it.
I did that, a steeplechase.
You may need to push that button for power.
What's
up? Oh.
You may need to turn the power. Our big feet.
Told you I'd manage to screw it up.
Time for it.
That was my fault.
No, I can accept responsibility.
So, about the lens cap. I changed the focus. Greg had it set up. So.
Should be turning on.
Let's see if I can get it on. It says it's warming back up. Well, while this is warming up, I left for you, and you should have received a copy of this to your home. But this is our stakeholder report. And as members of our community, we want everyone to receive a highlight of some of the things that are happening in Alpine School District. And that's what this is. It doesn't go into a ton of detail, but it hits things like scholarships, it hits things like graduation, it hits things like how much we spend on the classroom. And so in a very quick infographic type setup, it gives you a snapshot of how your tax dollars, how your community members, how your neighbors are being spent. I also left for you something that was, we think is kind of cool. A lot of you have water bottles. Saw several on the way in. And that's kind of the thing now is to put stickers on your water bottles. So, that came from students or that came from staff. But our theme this year is Shine Out. And so that's our Shine Out plan statement. You can go to water bottle or whatever else you want to say. Amber's daughter came to my office and I so happened to have an extra water bottle. And so I put a few stickers on, gave her a few stickers to put on the water bottle for herself. And she thinks I'm like one of the coolest things ever.
She sleeps with it. Like, I kid you not, she sleeps with it.
So anyway, that's what you have there in front of you. This first picture, I just wanted to show Alpine's got a 104-year legacy. It was created in 1915. It was really kind of fun to go to Utah County and dig into the archives and actually get the resolution. That the Planning Commission reviewed and actually adopted in May of 1915. We were required to do that because of a law that was passed last year by the legislature. And so we had to have a file of that creation document on file. And so you see up in the top right corner one of our schools when we were created. And then you see one of our middle schools in the EI.
What school was that?
That's got the old school. I want to say that was Lincoln, but I'm not 100% sure. Not the Lincoln of any of that, but the older Lincoln. This is our board. And again, here with me tonight is Amber Bonner, who represents the Lincoln cluster. These seven men and women are very, very dedicated to your kids. And we spend hours and hours together. trying to get to talk about how we invest in our families and our kids learn at the highest levels. And I send them a lot of spreadsheets, and they do a lot of reading, and then they have a lot of conversations about what is best for kids. And it's a privilege for me and our team to work with all these other people. And where do you want to add?
Just that Rob is a spreadsheet, like, love spreadsheet. He's always like, we have a super juicy spreadsheet for you today. And I'm like, those words do not go together. But yes, lots and lots of spreadsheets. I'm sure you guys know. It's just, but we have a lot of really good things going on in our schools, both here and throughout the district. So it's great to be part of that adventure.
We had our last board meeting at Lone Peak High, and Scott's not here with us tonight because he's got a young man going in the MTC tomorrow, so we excuse him, apologize for that, but his priorities are in the right place. But our board meeting was at Lone Peak, and we recognized some kids, and it was heartfelt and amazing that some of your children and your neighbors' children do some of the things that they do to look out for their neighbors and their fellow students. On a couple of occasions, some of the hardships that they're dealing with and overcoming just are inspiring to me and one of the things that drive us in our work. So we're very, very grateful to recognize that and see good things going on in our schools here. This is our district. A lot of schools on the east side and many more schools being added on the west side. I was in a meeting this past week, and I know the mayor is involved with MAG and other entities. The right-of-way preservation for freeway space on the west side of the lake, and I don't know if you've seen the latest, but the Foothill Boulevard that comes down through the mountain corridor, they're protecting 520 feet of right-of-way. I-15 is 480 feet of right-of-way. They're talking about a third major freeway coming from the Tooele Valley that will intersect here at the south end of our county, south of the lake, with I-15, with the Boulevard, and a future Tooele Valley freeway intersecting at the south end. Those systems will bring more growth, and we expect that will continue. This is the place in Utah that's driving a lot of the economy for the state. And bringing residents and challenges for communities. Our board's number one priority is get the best teachers, keep them, and let them enter in the classroom. And better teachers we can find and the better results you people will have. And we strive very hard. This year we will hire 900 new teachers. So when you think about that, that's a staggering number. And the interesting thing this year is I did some training for new teachers coming to the Alvin School District. About half of those new teachers are leaving other districts because they want to be part of Alvin School District. There's a lot of good things, as Amber said, going on, and a voice can do this. One of the things that we also want to talk about, I think, is appropriate in every community. But our social emotional well-being students, if a student feels safe, then they can connect with teachers and peers. When they can connect, they can thrive and be confident in what they do. One of our gaps is we looked internally and said we've got some holes. This is an area that, frankly, we were not doing enough in our schools to provide support and intervention. And so through the legislative appropriation, some creativity by some of our board members and staff working on a solution. We have made a very concerted effort to attack social and emotional well-being for kids. Again, so if they're safe, then they will be higher levels. Elementary counselors, we had two counselors prior to this. This year, we now have 14 additional. We will continue to work on it. So students have some we have in elementary school they will be able to talk to. Psychologists, instead of just having a psychologist do testing, and primarily special ed student testing, they now are able to do intervention and work as part of an intervention team to support the needs of young people. Board certified behavior analysts, we have behavior issues that manifest in a variety of different ways. And so these are specialists that are trained that can work with a teacher at a school. Instead of pulling that student out of their school, sending them on a bus to a magnet site along the way. We work on the problem, then we send them right back to the environment where they were struggling and having issues. We work with them right in their school. That is something I think that we're pretty used to in sports and supporting those kids and families. Social workers, this is an exciting thing. One of our first social workers, we put a home in high school. And all of them have done some amazing things. We work in supporting our kids. And then school nursing, again, legislative appropriation, and benefits, and these groups work as teams, as professionals working with principals and teachers and students and families. Pretty significant impact in 1 year. In a large district, one of the things that we also strive very, very hard to do is to take an organization that has a good economy scale, but to break it into smaller pieces so that it operates efficiently, but also allows for local control. And so we do that through what we call clusters. Other districts call them cones. There's a variety of ways that large organizations break into small pieces. The Lone Peak cluster, you can see schools that we have in Outbreaks, Timberline, our junior highs, and six elementary schools, the Cleveland schools. They get together and meet with superintendent, the teachers, classified staff, and they raise and solve issues that are connected to that local community. Something I think has been very effective. A couple ways to connect. We wanted to just share a couple of things. Our website has changed, I think it's more user-friendly. It's easier to navigate. But we want to just highlight a couple of places. That top, go to go over family and students, has a ton of resources. How do I register a kid? What about student athletes? It's just much more user-friendly and intuitive. Superintendent has a system in here. If you want to go to a specific school, click on school, or go right to the school, look at that school website. It's what's going on for lunch at Cedar Ridge Elementary School, or what have you. Some district functions in the board. The board has their minutes, their recordings, their policies, and so forth. And we have staff reports. One other focus that we've been working on this year is on our social media. We've got Instagram. And you'll see some additional work there by our team to communicate, and to communicate quickly, and hopefully avoid some of the delays that we've seen, whether that's a smoke or a half a snow in Cedar Hills. Is that the one that you had a year ago? I can't remember. We engage with most importantly in multiple ways. A couple of things that we wanted to just do an update. Some of you may or may not be aware of some significant improvements in your facilities and support benefits. I won't be high. Just finished just under a $5 million roofing project for a large high school. That's what it takes to replace a roof. The roof has about a 20-year life. Lone Peak was built in 95, so we stretched that just a little bit beyond the 20 years. But we just replaced that roof. In addition, we've done some things with parking, great to work with the City Island on some property, and increasing parking for students. Because we're going to lose parking on North County Boulevard, so that parking on the street, and then with the development of the property just to the south, we're going to lose that parking too, so we were trying to proactively put some issues space for kids, and also have parking that's close to athletic fields. And so forth. So if you're at a football event or soccer event, it's using the football field, there's parking closer to your actual game. At American Fork High, some of our residents here at Tendaya, that's where all my kids live. I love that facility. We're prepped for the final phase of rebuilding that school. We've redone the athletic fields, they're in the right place, so they function properly. We'll open it up and prepare for that final rebuild. We're doing a final rebuild at Lehigh High right now. We've driven down Lehigh Main Street. You can see all the fun we're having over there. We will come back and make a test for all high school American board. All three of those schools are built at the same time. They were built for about 700 kids, not 2,000. And so we've got some work to come back and do. Central Elementary, this is something that all of our schools, it's something that's a passion of mine personally, so I wanted to throw this up there. We're rebuilding the Space Center in Central Elementary. It's one of the most engaging, exciting program offerings that we provide. When your kids go through the Space Center, yes, okay. If they wanted to go back for like a birthday party or something, that was my kids. We got raised from private sources, $3.3 million towards the rebuild. We will have a fixed-seat planetarium in our Space Center, which is unheard of in a public elementary school in this nation. It's so exciting. We have a partnership with Clark Planetarium, so we'll be sharing material. We'd love to bring the council out and we can host you for a mission. And one of our simulators, and I want to go see a show in our planetarium sometime. We'll be open to that. But we're super excited about that. Our target fundraising is $4 million. We're almost there. And just super excited. And then finally, we're always in the school doing capital projects that you may not see on a bond, but some of the tax dollars we get in each year might be doing things like replacing carpet or refurbishing a bathroom or working on grounds, etc. And we do many other projects for the Cedarville community each year. This is a picture of the Space Center, just a rendering what it looks like or what it will look like at night. It's my favorite rendering because it is at night. And this will also connect with our Clear Creek facility. We have an astronomy piece that we also do up at Schofield. Some of you may have been with your kids overnight at Clear Creek. But the astronomy piece at Clear Creek, where you can actually see all the stars, because there is virtually no ambient light, and it will tie to what we're doing here at Space Center as well. The second story, you can see the planetarium over the top, and the simulator from the lower shore, the lower floor. Just super excited about this project. The last thing, every time I come to City Council, I can share a ton of stuff about planning, a lot of good things going on. There's also a lot of things we can get better at. And so I always like to have an opportunity for you to share with me, whether it's support or if there's things that we should know about Cedar Hills, needs and concerns and issues that we can take time and I can take some notes and take that to the president and our president and see if we can do better support. So that's kind of where we're going. I'm going to pause and I'll grab my book and just some opportunity for some dialogue.
Start off by saying I can't think of anything specific that Cedar Hills needs at this point in time in Alpine School District. We really appreciate our relationship that we have with our school district. We've been great working with them quite frequently on recreation programs that we offer for our city and our action program, the whole basketball and football and the various things that we do. And so we really appreciate working with the principals at each of the schools in our area. They've been very helpful in helping and helping us find the space that we need for our recreation programs. We appreciate Amber. She's great. She communicates often, and I feel like we know what's going on in our area. She's great at putting her notes online where everyone can see.
I think you touched on it with the cooperation and the coordination between the city and the rec programs. We have, how many was it, 1,100 kids this last year? 1,200 kids in our junior jazz program this last year. They're all Alpine School District residents or kids. They're in your boundaries, but it's really valuable to us to have that partnership with Lone Peak High School, with Mount Ridge, with I'm drawing a blank on the one in up there. Excuse me?
Timberline,
yes. And the local elementary schools here. We cannot do these programs without their support and their assistance. And so we really value those partnerships and want to foster them and do whatever we can to make them stronger. If there's things that we need to do better, we need to know about those and how we can help you in when we're running our programs in your facilities.
Thank you. And the same thing goes for Annual Family Festival. The Ion series to use some of their grass area there. And it's been great for the principal and the staff.
Something I Amber explained this just a little while back, my concern in Cedar Hills folks. With the large development going in South Long Peak, I believe there are no plans for any new elementaries or junior highs. And that's because you're seeing a gradual decline in enrollment at Deerfield and Cedar Ridge. Is that still the case?
I was actually going to bring that up. I get asked about that a lot. I don't think you guys get asked about it. Right now, so I am currently over Long Peak, Mountain Ridge, Timberline, and the six elementary schools are Deerfield, Cedar Ridge, Highland, Alpine, Westfield, Ridgeline. So last year, all of those schools declined in enrollment, except for Ridgeline because they have Suncrest, which is still putting in a lot of homes up there. Deerfield right now, I think it's in the 700s. So they've got room. Cedar Ridge has room. I know this development down here by Walmart is boundary to Cedar Ridge. It'll be interesting to see how many kids we get from that. We tend to not get very many kids from townhome or multi-home developments. We get the most of our kids from single-family home developments. For example, Highland actually has the most students per household in the district. So we really should be okay, but that development where it's on, they're single-family, but they're on kind of little lots, it'll be interesting to see, I don't know how that affects us, but I do think the parcel south of Lone Peak is currently split between Cedar Ridge and Deerfield. It may be that we need to boundary adjust through there to make sure that that gets split well between those two schools. It's also boundary to Mountain Ridge, which has room for more kids. We'll see what happens at Lone Peak. Lone Peak's a little crowded, but like I said, they're trending down. So, well, they're not yet, but all the elementaries are. So that's going to hit us at some point.
Do you think that'll have an impact on the students on the east side of Canyon Grove that right now are allowed to go to Lone Peak if they want, though they're in or for boundaries?
I don't know. We'll just have to see. I don't know. Like I said, if the trend continues and we're all headed down, then that may those kids may fit in just fine. If it ends up that Lone Peak just is bursting and we can't do any more, we may have to look at some boundary changes, I don't know. But it's too premature to even.
Sure.
And you know, what's going to come in first? Are they going to put in the multifamily units first or the single family homes? Or it just depends on what comes in and when. So I think it's too early to call that one.
I think so.
Okay. So, see.
One of the things we do is on our webpage under business services, we have a 5-year enrollment projection. The details for every cluster, high school cluster, and every school. We also have charge school data there. We have census data, we have birth data, we have it on stuff. And that's the basis for our finances. It's how many kids are going to come to help us also determine what is our capital needs, where we need to build, et cetera. So you could go out there and take a look at that. Our October 1 count, we just had. So that's the basis. That's the official count. We have our auditors out, actually in schools, counting students. We do our systems match the number of students that are actually in the classroom. That happens on October 1st every year. And then we take that data with all that other data I mentioned, and we put out a 5-year projection. That's available to you in our community. And that's what Amber was referencing. We will look specifically at those trends by school and by grade level, and then make informed decisions. Does it need to be a boundary change? Do we need to build a new school? Where does that need to go, et cetera? That'll be done and presented to the board in November. I have the second board meeting in November. Once that happens, Chandler, I'm going to copy that out to you.
Great.
It's interesting. It's really. We talk juicy spreadsheet. That information, I think, is
it's just
awesome.
I'm going to steal that. I like that.
So, but anyway, to me, that just is, there's so many pieces of information that you can then help inform some good decision. And that's the basis of everything we use.
And I think to brag on Rob and his department just a little bit, we gained 1,800 students from last year to this year. So we have 82,000 something, depending on today's official count. And our business services team has been within 1% district-wide of their projections for the last 10 years. So it really is phenomenal. And it allows us, as a board, then to go through and make wise decisions. And sometimes there's a school that's an anomaly and doesn't quite match exactly what we were hoping, but district-wide, that makes it really, really good for us to be able to project and make wise financial decisions. So, yeah.
What is the best way for us to communicate with our high school district on, we don't have a ton of public meeting anymore, but I was in Cedar Ridge last month for a completely different reason, and Principal DeMille was asking me about development, and I felt bad because she didn't know about it, and I thought, oh, I probably should have done a better job of letting her know that safety homes are coming in and in, because they are going to impact her school. So what is the best way for us to share that kind of information with?
Thanks, you know, obviously the chairman could reach out to me at any time, and I would share with our executive team and the membership commissioners.
Besides growth, is there any other things that you would want us to inform you about?
Road changes, trail changes, I think those are really helpful for us. And when we're looking at bus routes and safe walking routes, we want to work with you on that. So if there's ever a road that comes in and out a few years, just right here. And so when a road came in and a sidewalk came in, that changed busing. So those are the things that really help us support our community and your kids. Any kind of development, roads, sidewalks, trails, I think those are big issues that really help us.
Anything else from the council?
Sorry, can I ask one more question?
Yes, please.
With the development south of Lone Peak and those kids going to Deerfield and Cedar Ridge, what is the plan to get them across North County Boulevard?
It's probably premature to decide for sure.
Okay.
But right now the state pays us for all of the legally required routes. The state pays for part of those routes, but those are only for students. Sorry, bus routes.
Mm-hmm.
For students that are farther than 1.5 miles away from their elementary school. So as a board, we have been cutting back on routes that are under that.
Yeah.
For the reason that basically it comes out of the same fund as teachers. So it's, do we want a bus or do we want more teachers? And pretty much everybody wants more teachers.
You should have a teacher drive a bus.
So. You should have a teacher drive a bus.
We actually did that this last year. We made it and we trained some teachers. And of that group of teachers that were willing to drive a bus, there are very, very few.
And I ask because it is a unique situation where you have Highland residents crossing a county road, or sorry, a state road, to come to a different school in a different city. So if there is a need for a crossing guard there, I mean, I can speak to the challenges we have with crossing guards here, and ours have been remarkably consistent over the years, but we still run into problems. I know that cities are always kind of sensitive to hiring new crossing guards because that is a difficult position to fill.
Yeah, we eliminated some bus routes in Alpine this year because of some changes there, and yes, they're struggling with that.
Okay.
We're going to put the crosswalks that we're in.
They need to lobby the state to get pedestrian over.
I'm sure they'll do that.
Boston, like Bangor Highway.
I'm sure that'll happen.
We'd love to work with you.
They should.
Just like we've worked with Cedar Hills on the connector.
Love it.
You
see anyone, right?
We appreciate
that. The kids are already gone.
We're right. Don't
just say it's going to be slow. The kids are walking.
That is actually
yes.
Which is exciting. We just need to keep working together on things like that.
Absolutely. Okay.
Other issues for us? You can take that.
No, their administrators are awesome. Janitors, everyone. Great. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming out.
All right, the next item on the agenda is a presentation from Mountain Line Association of Governments.
Thank you. One moment while I get plugged in here. Should remember where the cord goes. While that's coming up,
too much through this PowerPoint presentation, but I wanted to show you our website. First of all, let me introduce myself. My name's Bob Allen. I'm a senior planner at Mountmont Association of Governments. If you're not familiar with who we are, we do a lot of things like Meals on Wheels, senior services, economic development, regional planning, but our, I guess the thing that I think is the most important is we do transportation planning, regional transportation planning. We bring all of the county and all the cities, UDOT and UT together to look regionally at transportation planning. Up here on the screen is our website, and tonight I want to talk to you about what's called Transplan 50. If you go down here under AOG highlights, it's called Transplan 50. If you select that and you scroll down to this green section called Plan Development. I'm not going to go through this. We can go through. There's a lot of information in there, and there's even a video talking about this. But really, this presentation is the story of how we got to this plan that was put before you. And I want to highlight a few things from that. But first of all, I think the biggest story from this document is if you look at our growth projections, it's called Transplan 50 because we're planning out to 2050. If you look at statewide growth projections, Utah County is going to grow more than Cache, Weaver, Davis, Salt Lake, Box Elder, and Tooele counties combined. We're going to grow more than pretty much the rest of the state other than Dixie combined. And so we have a lot of planning and work to do. If you, one thing that we like to kind of illustrate to people is we're going to be what Salt Lake is today sooner rather than later. And if you look at the transportation facilities that Salt Lake County has, I-15, 215, 80, Bangor, track system, Front Runner, they have a more mature metropolitan transportation grid. We're kind of the awkward teenager stage of a urban area that we need to grow. We need lots of things to happen in order for us to facilitate a lot of things that are happening. By the way, please feel free to jump in and ask any questions along the way. I don't want to spend too much of your time, and I want to make sure I have time for questions. But there's really three big things in this document that highlights or calls to action that we are trying to highlight out of this. First of all, with all of that growth, the most important thing that we can do in order to keep transportation moving and congestion down as much as possible is to complete the grid network. So if you look at it, Salt Lake County has this beautiful grid, and what they did is they started out at Salt Lake City and they grew south and west and east from that central city. And therefore, they have a lot of those connecting arterial streets. Utah County is a little bit different. We kind of had a bunch of little satellite communities with their own grids, and then those grids all grew out. And then there was like one or two major state facilities connecting them. Well, our problem now is everybody's individual grids are growing out, but now that they're coming close and touching each other, they're not necessarily connecting through as well as they need to. A great example of how we're trying to fix this problem is Canal Boulevard. You guys know all about that. I don't need to go into that. But those are the kind of major connections that we need in order to keep congestion down, to keep things going. The second major issue or call to action that we are pointing out in this plan is that we also need to complete the grid of freeway type facilities. I-15 is the one basket we have right now. And when you all know when I-15 shuts down, we come to a screeching halt. And in fact, I-15 right now, we are looking at, do we need to build an alternative freeway to I-15? Do we need to build a freeway within a freeway on I-15? Do we need to do other things like that? And that's just with I-15, not to mention the west side, you know, the freeway that was mentioned earlier, crossing the lake. going south, you know, are there other freeways that we need to be built, that need to be built? We are right now in, this is, I would almost characterize this as an interim plan. We redo this plan every 4 years. The next 4 years is going to say a lot about big projects that are needed in Utah County, an alternative freeway, what other freeways need to be built. That also brings up our third big issue is we can handle growth with the projects that are in this plan out to 2050 pretty well. And with our funding projections, we can afford to build most of the freeway and road projects that we think we need. We also need transit as part of that equation. We can only afford half of the transit that we need in the next 30 years. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, transit, you know, we're never going to get light rail at Cedar Hills or whatever. But the reality is transit is an integral part of any transportation system. A good example is UBX that was just opened along the parkway. That carries 15,000 people a day. That's 15,000 cars that are off the parkway because that bus is running the way it is. And so we have to use transit and bicycle, pedestrian, and other means in order to accommodate the growth and the movement that we are going to see here in Utah County over the next 30, 40 years. So we work closely with Mayor Reese. She's one of our regulars, and we're very grateful to have her as part of our board. We meet regularly. We meet with the communities. We meet with UDOT and UTA extensively to go through and create this plan. One important thing I want to point out is that as we create this plan, this is not MAG coming up playing SimCity and kind of coming up with what we think Highland and Alpine and Cedar Hills and Provo are going to do. We come to each individual city, take your general plans, look at your projections, and incorporate those into our models so that we can accommodate what you are planning for. Now, one little caveat that I probably should point out to you is that relatively consistently across the board, if you build out the general plans for communities in Utah County right now, if we just build them all out, we still are not planning for enough growth that correlates with the projections we're seeing over 30 years. Now, that's not saying we need to plan more growth, that's just understanding that consistently cities are under projecting and under planning for potential growth that we see in the county. Ultimately, we're here to make this plan for you. This is not MAG's plan for your community or for the county. This is our bringing all these communities together and stitching together a plan and hope and making transportation work for you. One final note before I open up the questions I want to point out is a lot of the huge funding, the big projects that you're seeing that are being built are obviously dealt with state funds through UDOT. Mountland, we do have a relatively smaller pot of funds that we program every 2 years. We are starting that process of programming funds this winter. We are projecting to have about $80 to almost $90 million to program for projects in the 2023 and 2024 years. So that means that if you as a community have regional projects that you would like to, you're looking for funding for, we would strongly encourage you to come and talk to us now so that we can help you get ready for that process, go through that process, so you can apply, hopefully have a project that's selected by our committees to be funded and go and be constructed. I know it's been, I think maybe three cycles ago, we do it every 2 years, I think maybe three cycles ago we had an application from Cedar Hills, but I don't think we've had this application since then. And so again, you know, it's you're part of the equation too. We want to have a project or projects applied from the city. We're happy to help you incubate those projects, whether it be a road project, a trail project, maybe there's a transit element that you're interested in that we could maybe help with. There's just a myriad of things that we can help use this money to build capacity in your community. And so please, we would encourage you to come talk to us, and we want to get you guys in that process and in the cycle, so hopefully you can have projects selected. With that, are there any transportation-related questions that I can answer for you? I will pretend that I know the answer or tell you the answer that I think is most correct. But thank you for your time. You know, is there any questions I can answer?
I have a question about
please.
The west side of the lake.
Yeah.
So I know that they've made improvements on Redwood Road going down, but
yeah.
There's plans to either a different road or
yeah.
I know what's the plan?
So Mountain View Corridor, if you're familiar with what Mountain View Corridor is, it's essentially going to be another freeway even west of Bangor, coming off of I-80, and it works its way down through Utah or through Salt Lake County. There are portions of it that are already built, especially in the south end. That is going to continue, and it's going to cut right through Camp Williams. It's actually on the uphill side, if I believe, of the data center. And it's going to go down into Saratoga Springs, and then it's going to continue south as what was mentioned earlier called Foothill Boulevard. And that is going to continue south down towards, if you know where Pelican Point is, I can see it right here. So that is going to be a freeway at least down to SR 73. And then potentially, depending on how growth goes in Saratoga Springs, it will continue south. Now, going south of Pelican Point, we just don't see a huge amount of growth south of that area. And with how expensive freeways are, we're not planning to build that freeway southward. I know a lot of people think, hey, we'll build a freeway on the other side of the lake and it will actually take care and help us with I-15. The problem with that is there's two problems. One is a lot of the traffic that arrives on I-15 has a stop in I-15. Even the truckers, a large majority of them have a stop in Utah County. The other problem is there's so little loading on that side that it wouldn't be worth building. If you've driven I-215 in Salt Lake County, for example, have you ever noticed that on the west side, it's quite busy, but on the east side, especially when you get up on the bench, traffic really peters out pretty quick, right? Because they're only drawing traffic from the downhill side. There's not all that growth out. There's not that much growth out there. So we're trying to be efficient with our funds in planning for that. There is a freeway plan, and they're actually doing the environmental work on it right now, that will convert SR 73 west out to Eagle Mountain. That's actually in the works right now. I don't know if they have funding for the actual project, but they are going through the design and environmental process to construct one there. That was a long answer to hopefully answer your question.
Yeah, which leads me to the highway over the lake.
Yeah.
What's the projection on that, like, timeline?
Well, right now it's out in the third phase, I believe. So if you look at that list of that map, we have it in three different phases. We have the first 10 years, the next 10 years, after that, the last 10 years. So there is an issue that we have. I mentioned that we're going to be like Salt Lake, and they have all that grid of freeways and big facilities. Well, we also have the problem that we have a lake in the middle of our county and a mountain range and so forth. We do see that there is going to be a need for transportation east and west. Pioneer Boulevard, or Pioneer Crossing right now, we're projecting even in the next 10 to 20 years where that road will be the busiest road, up to the busiest road in Utah that is not a grade separated freeway. And we are currently starting a study with the communities in that area to say, do we expand Pony or Pioneer Crossing to be more like a Bangor, you know, kind of convert it over to freeway? Do we take the Pony Express Parkway and make it an alternative road? Is there a third option where we build a freeway that skirts the north half of the lake or in the lake? We're just, when I talked about earlier about how this is kind of the interim to big stuff that we need in the future, that's what we're trying to find out in the next couple of years. So the next iteration of this plan will be able to have really finite decisions made on things like that. But yeah, I mean, if you've driven out Pioneer Crossing, it's busy and it's not going to change. It's going to continue to be busier. Great question, though. Any other questions about transportation?
What's the timing on SR-73 as you understand it?
The freeway going west?
Yeah.
They're right in the, I think they're wrapping up.
And they got your picture on the board, actually. There.
Yeah, that's actually it. I don't believe that there is, let me go over here. I don't believe that there is, so there's money to do the environmental and the design work. There is not money identified to construct it.
Is there money for acquisition for right-of-way?
Yeah, they've already acquired, I think, all of the right-of-way they need for what for the section that they're talking about right now. Another helpful thing to maybe explain to you is, if you look at this, you guys, you know all about planning. This is what I would say is a general plan. Your long distance look at the future, this is kind of what we want to be and what we want to do. We also have what's called the TIP, the Transportation Improvement Program. That is essentially a listing, that's what I would call your capital improvements plan, where you have the next five years, you planned out, we have this much money, we're gonna build this road, we're gonna fix this pipe, we're gonna build this water tower, et cetera, et cetera. The TIP is that next 5 years of programmed transportation funds, what projects are gonna be built for sure and when. This is just getting started. When it gets in the TIP, that's when there's actually funding identified and it's programmed to start. And that's how that works. And so reality, this is important. But if you want to, if a project is going to move forward and it's going to move forward in the next 5 years, it's going to be in the TIP. And we work with UDOT to maintain that. Great question. Any other questions? Wow, you guys are easy.
I'll tell you about this plan is that NAG has worked with the other MPOs of the state who also have their regional transportation plans. So that they're all lining up in national transits, connecting the transit, roads are connecting the roads. And in fact, Utah actually gets quite a few accolades for transportation planning with all the regions coming together to plan instead of everything being piecing it out by themselves.
That's right. Probably 10 years ago, the state legislator came to our director and the director at WFRC, which covers Salt Lake County, and he asked, well, why are your assumptions different from your assumptions? And so what we've done since then is all of our plans are in the same time frame. We use all of the same financial assumptions. We use the same travel demand model. So when we change something in our county, in our model, it actually is reflected all the way up into Box Elder County if it's a significant enough of a project. So we coordinate very closely. In fact, the state of Utah is pretty much the only state really that does this. I think most transportation officials around the country are just to the point now where they just kind of almost blow us off because it's so crazy how well we work together with each other. They're just like, we can't do that. And so they don't even bother anymore trying to be like Utah, which is amazing. It's a great thing. We have our quarrels with Salt Lake County, but that's
who
doesn't?
That's right. And then the other last program here from MAG, there isn't a lot in Cedar Hills there's nothing that's on the TIP plan right now. There's not a lot, but
hopefully that will change.
Hopefully that will change. And MAG has been great to work with on the things that they can do. So I think you guys are all aware that MAG actually did our moderating cost plan for us, which was extremely helpful and valuable.
Yeah. With saying that with a little minor plug, make sure that with the SB 34, I don't know if that has been updated since the new law has come out.
It was updated with that in mind.
Okay,
yes.
Good,
yes.
Great. Yeah, the state is finally putting a little bit of a stick or a carrot, whichever one you want to call it, to moderate the housing plan. So make sure you're taking care of that.
We're not eligible for the carrot, so.
You, yeah, you're not likely to get money out of the carrot, but.
The TTIP and TIF,
you don't have big enough stuff. I mean, technically, North County Boulevard, major changes to North County Boulevard could or very likely would be funded through the TIF. So that is still something to pay attention to. You were just talking about, you know, a pedestrian overpass. You know, TIF is a very likely funding source if something ever was planned like that. That would be a place that it could be funded. So it's definitely something to be paying attention to, but you know, you're not necessarily a big player when it comes to those pots and pans. Excellent.
Well, are there another questions from council staff?
Yes. Say on this map, the second plot map, there's a 114, which I guess is a pedestrian biking trail underneath the power line, but it's still 11 to 21 years away. Uh-huh. Of 3.2 million.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that right of way is already there. I mean, how are they going to allow a pedestrian bike line trail underneath the power line?
Yeah, depending on the situation, but yes, we've done it in the past. And so that is, I don't know the specifics of that particular project, but typically that's the way it would work. I mean, essentially, this plan is created so that we can get projects like that on people's minds and identify, get right away through the development process, etc. Now, so that's kind of the reason for this. That specific project, I could look at it earlier, but I don't know if I have specific information. One other plug, I guess I will say, is those, I don't know if you're familiar with Jim Price in our office. He's one of the premier trail planners, not only in the state, but really in the West. If you have trails that you would like to look at, if you have projects with trails or you'd like to have some work done on your trail planning, he's an excellent resource and we'd love to help you out with that. Any other questions, comments? Thank you so much for your time again. Mayor Reese knows how to get in touch with us, but you're always welcome to call and email, and we're happy to answer any questions or help any way we can. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, we've got about 6 minutes for the council meeting, so we'll just take a short break. Somebody wants to make a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second by Councilor Anderson, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are.
I do have one extra.